Gemara on Ayin Zayin on the base quotes a drasha of Rava that there's a binyanav. Binyanav means that if there's a pasuk in one place in Chumash where a certain word has a certain halachic connotation, that has the same halachic connotation every other place that it appears. So Rava claims there's one pasuk somewhere in Chumash where the word seh has the halachic connotation of prat l'kilayim. So whenever the word seh appears in Chumash in any other place, it has the same halachic connotation. Where's the original place? So that was a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi writes in Chulin Daf Ayin Ches. Here Rashi doesn't say a word. Rashi in Chulin Daf Ayin Ches on the base writes Pirush Bekuntres Binyanav is from the pasuk by Kashrus that it says six of him Yizim. Tosfos says how can it be? The Gemara says by us. One suggestion was that you're learning out from wherever this mystery pasuk is. You're learning. Welcome back. Shalom Aleichem. You're learning out from the pasuk says somewhere too Kashrus that Kalayim is not kosher. How can it be that you're learning from Kashrus to Kashrus? That doesn't make any sense. The Tosfos shows from the Gemara in Choras Daf Yud Beis. No, the original pasuk, the original marker, you're learning from there to the other place. The original marker is the pasuk by Korban Pesach. That by Korban Pesach we know that the kilayim is not kosher because the Korban Pesach is a korban like all other korbanos. So the word said that appears in Korban Pesach has a halachic connotation of prat l'kilayim. So from there we learn to kala tarkula. So what is kala tarkula? So the Gemara says, I don't learn from Korban Pesach to tell me that korbanos are no good if they're kilayim. That has its own drasha. Shora kesa prat l'kilayim. I don't learn from Korban Pesach to teach me that bechor that's noilad le'imo, that's a kilayim, doesn't have a din of kedushas bechor at all, even a matnas kahuna doesn't have a din at all. I don't need that. Bechor has its own drasha. I don't have to learn from Seh, from Korban Pesach to Ma'isa Be'imah, that it's not Nichnas L'dil L'Saser, that has its own pasuk. So what do you need the whole pasuk of, what do you need the whole binyanav for? And well, according to the majority opinion of the Tanaim, the way we paskin, the binyanav is to teach me that Tifta B'Seh, Pinyan Petach Amor, if it's B'Shavio, you can give Shlokas, the Gemara says, you can give cooked vegetables, you can give Kesh. But if it's Shalom B'Shavio, that's only acceptable if it's Tifta B'Seh. So Tifta B'Seh, Evelo B'Kilayim. So the Gemara says, that's the Binyan Avav Rava. This is Nicha, the way we pass in Halacha, like the Mishnah. But the Mishnah quotes the Tana Reish Aleph. Tosfos proves that it's Rabbi Loza, not Rabbi Eliezer. The Tana Rabbi Loza, who says that you may do Pinyan Petach Amor B'Kilayim, Rabbi Loza, Mata B'Kilayim. So according to Rabbi Loza, where do you need, what are you learning out from the Binyan Av of Rav? You could have said that Rav Lozer disagrees with Rav's Binyan Av. But the Gemara chooses to suggest that even according to Rav Lozer, there is a Binyan Av of Rav. The Gemara says, oh, I learn out from Korban Pesach, just like the said by Korban Pesach has the connotation, Prat L'Kilayim, I learn out to Kashrus, that by in the area of Kashrus, if you have an animal that's a Kilayim, it's not kosher. That's not true. An animal that's kilayim is not kosher. It's prohibited to have them mate together. That's kilay behema. You're not allowed to breed the animals together. But if the animals developed on their own, or if a nochri did it, or if a Jew who's an avarya and a non-religious Jew had two animals breed together and they give birth to a kilayim, sanayim said that the kilayim is also bachilas muta. From the etz of fact, the Gemara says in Chulin, the end of Perikol Abasa. Kol Abasa is all about Basa B'Cholof. Like Perikol Svezmano is all about Basa B'Cholof. Perikisi Adam is all about Kisi Adam. So Perikol Abasa is all about Basa B'Cholof. So at the end of the Perik, the Gemara quotes in Machlokes HaTanaim, is it true that Basa B'Cholof is also B'Cholof? We paskin yes. One Tana says no, there is no such thing. We paskin Basa B'Cholof is also B'Cholof. The Gemara has a whole discussion there. How do you know that Basa B'Cholof is also B'Cholof? So the Gemara develops, one Tana develops a theme. Lo seich lo kol teyevo. Based on that, what does that mean? Lo seich lo kol teyevo. So one Tana says, kol shetiyafti lecho arehu bebat teichel. Any food that you're not allowed to basa b'cholov, you're not allowed to cook basa b'cholov, so that's considered a dova hametuav. So even if a goy cooks the basa b'cholov, even if the milk fell into the basa accidentally, no one did it. Lo seich lo kol teyevo. Kol shetiyafti lecho arehu bebat teichel. And whenever it says Lo Sechel, it includes an Isa Hano as well. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Kol Shetiyavti Lecha, Reb Baal Techo, whatever you're not allowed to do. And what if you have all these fruits that are they did Hakovas Ilanas? A whole bunch of fruits, no? Yeah, yeah, grafting. If you graft two different fruits, so we eat a lot of them. What do we eat? Nectarines? No. A whole bunch of fruits are all grafted. So whoever did it violated now there. There happens to be that that's even also the Bnei Noach. They're not allowed to do Harkovas Ilonis. It's also even a Chutzlores Menatorah for a Jew, and it's also for a Nochri Menatorah. It's in addition to the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach that they deserve the Misa for, if they violate anyone of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, the Rambam quotes from the Gemara Sanhedrin, there are an additional few prohibitions where there's no Einish Misa. So that's one of them. But the Peris Amutter, after you do it, and the same thing if you do Harkovas Behemoth. You're not permitted to do Harkovas Behemoth, but if you went ahead and you did it, or they did it on their own, so it's Mutter Bachir. So Gemara asks all these questions. How do you know? Well, let's say you're not allowed to be Misares any Balchai, not allowed to castrate an animal. And they all the time, they castrate the chickens, and everybody eats those chickens. So how are you allowed to eat them? Why don't you say, Kol sh'tiyavta l'cha areba b'altoicha? So the Gemara explains Pesukim for every step of the way. So here, this is one of the Pesukim. The fact that we have a drosha from a Pesuk, Shor HaKesar Prat L'Kilayim, is an indication that Kilayim is Pesul HaKroven, but Kilayim is Mutter for us to eat. You're permitted to eat Kilayim. If it would have been Asa B'Achidi, you wouldn't need a Pesuk to say that the Korban is Pesul. It's a lacking in Mashke Yisrael. So from the fact that I have a drosha that Kilayim is Pesul HaKroven HaGabi HaMizbeach, that's a clear kind of indication that it's Mutter LaHedyot. So it's Mutter LaHedyot. What is this drosha of Rava? That Rava is telling me, Abinyanav, just like over there by Korban Pesach, let's say, Taisa said, just like by Korban Pesach, the word Seh has the connotation of Prat LaKilayim. So too, by Kashrus, if an animal is Kilayim, you're not allowed to eat it. That doesn't make any sense. Mar says, no, it's talking about a special kind of Kilayim. What's a special kind of Kilayim? So the Gemara says, Tomi Shanola Minatomi, Ibura Minatomi. Oh? If a kosher and a non-kosher animal mate together and they have a vlad, and that vlad, so that vlad is that kind of kilayim, that vlad is also bachil. So then the Gemara says, but that physically is impossible, it doesn't exist, that's the last line. But tahara mitmeo mimi ebra, that's physically impossible. A kosher and a non-kosher animal can't have a vlad together, just like Rashi pointed out previously. The last Rashi on Ayin Zayinam and Beis points out, that's what the Gemara says, that a behema gasa and a behema daka cannot have a vlad together. Because this has a 9-month pregnancy, that has a 5-month pregnancy. So the Gemara says over here also a statement, a biological fact, that a kosher and a non-kosher animal cannot mate together to have a vlad. So how is it possible that Pasuk is telling me, Rav is binyanav, is telling me that if you have kilayim, it's also b'achilo. That's impossible. Kilayim is mutta b'achilo. It's only possible l'akrov agabi mizbech. Means you have this kind of kilayim. You have a kosher and a non-kosher animal made it together, so the vlad is going to be asav achila. But that's impossible. There won't be any vlad. It's impossible. Mara says, no. If you have a kosher and a non-kosher animal, but basically they're both the same min. They're both cows. What do you mean? There's a kosher cow and a non-kosher cow. What's the non-kosher cow? So the Gemara says, if the non-kosher cow has a mutation and it looks like a camel, that's based on Sir Rashi on the top of Ein Ches on the base quotes, Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says, Gomel, Gomel, it says in the Chumash twice, Deipamim, says twice that Gomel is Osir. So it implies, Echo Gomel, Nelmen Agamal, Echo Gomel, Nelmen Apar. There are two kinds of Gemalik. One is a Gomel, who has a pedigree all the way back to Sheshes Mebrash's father and his mother, both Gemalim, all his four grandparents are Gemalim, all his great great grandparents, everybody, all the way back is all Gemalim. So that's a normal Gomel. Then there's another kind of a gomel that's a nidmeh. Nidmeh usually is only posel l'hakrev al gamei mizbech. If you have an animal that's... what do you say in nidmeh again? A mutation. It looks like a different thing. So nidmeh is only a psul l'hakrev al gamei mizbech. But here, Reb Shimon holds, this kind of a nidmeh is also b'achila. If you have a shor and a parah, have a vlad, and the vlad is a mutation, it looks like a gomel. So that's a machlekes, a pshimin, and a chachamim. So we, in Pchor is davav. So we pass in the Shulchan Aruch that it's mutter. A shor and a parah have a vlad, that's a mutation, looks like a gomel. So we ignore the fact that what it looks like. It's considered a shor. It's considered a kosher animal. Reb Shimon disagrees and he says, no, gomel, gomel, shnei pamim, mech a gomel, no men, a gomel, a gomel, no men, a parah. A gomel, no men, a parah is also b'achilah. So the Gemara says over here, that mutation, that vlad that looks like a gomel, but it's really a para, so that vlad can mate with another para that can have a vlad, because basically it's a para with a mutation. It's not a gomel. Biologically, it's not a gomel. It looks like a gomel. On the outside, it looks like a gomel. But since both parents, the whole DNA, the whole thing is really a shor and a para, so the whole animal is really either a shor or a para, male or female, whatever it happens to be. And it looks like a gomel. So the Tana Reb Elazar holds like Reb Shimon that animal is osa b'achila, even though biologically it's a shor or a para, it's a cow. So that can mate with another shor or para. So if they'll have a vlad, so that vlad will be osa b'achila. That's the pasuk that tells me that kilayim is osa b'achila. It's not really kilayim. It's not really kilayim. The first one for sure wasn't kilayim. If a shor and a para have a vlad, that's a mutation. It looks like a gomel. So that's not based on Rav Loza the Tana holds like Rav Shimon the Tana, who says that gomel is aser. That's not based on the binyan av. That has not to do with kilayim. There was a shor and a para. They gave birth to a vlad. That's a nidme. That's a mutation. Nidme is only a psul. L'hakrev agave mizbech and karbonis. Nidme is not aser b'achila. But that gomel is also b'achila based on a different pasuk. Gomel, gomel, shtei pamim. It says twice gomel. One goes on a gomel ben gimalim, all the way back to sheshes meibresh. One goes on this kind of a mutation. So that's a yetzvin aklal. So that shor that looks like a gomel, that nidme is also b'achila. So now that shor that looks like a gomel will mate with another shor, which is physically possible, because basically the inside, all the kishkes inside, everything is like a poro. Like a shor or a par, depending on whether it's a male or a female, just that it looks like it's a nidme, mutation looks like a gomel. So if that will mate with another shor or a para, so that vlad will be also b'achila. That's how Tosis interprets the Gemara. Rashi does not interpret like that. Rashi stands on his head to interpret differently. Rashi says, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Bchor, is here on the top of Amud Beis. First he quotes Reb Shimon. Shimon says gomel gomel, that the gomel anolad min apara is also that should have been treated as a mutation. Rashid says pasal ha'akra al-gabra mizbech, but it's mutav achila. Reb Shimon says that it's also, we don't pass like Reb Shimon. You're there, we pass like the chachamim of the Reb Shimon. The shal is what does Reb Loza hold? So that's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos how to read Reb Loza. So Rashi is going to give, Rashi stands on his head to reinterpret the Gemara there. Yeah. I want to explain why does Rashi give such a strange interpretation. So Rashi writes, "Palgalei Reb Yeshua." Reb Yeshua disagrees with Reb Shimon. Hech dibrasim in hatohar mishor sheino kalut. Rashi interprets that according to Reb Yeshua, the Tana Reb Yeshua, if you have a shor with a para, have a vlad, a kolut ben para, and it's a mutation and it looks like a gomel. So Rashi claims, according to Rabbi Shua, that gomel will be mutter. Umatira b'simen echad shaltara umalager mafres parsa. Where does Rashi get all this from? He gets it. This is his interpretation of that Gemara Mchares Davav that he's quoting. The Doresh. This part is a quotation from Mchares. Ezelo tochlu es hagomel. This kind of a gomel you're not allowed to eat. What does it mean? If you have a gomel ben gemala, all the way back to sheshes meibreshes, a gomel has one simen tara, it says in Chumash, I forgot already. The gomel has one, in order to be kosher, has to be malager mafres parsa. So the Chumash lists off certain animals that have one simen without the other, they have the other simen without the first. So the gomel is one of those that only has one simen. So the Tana Reb Yeshua says, ezel osochlos hagomel. Zet yatoechol b'simen echad. A gom ben balag ben balim yinat ladit b'simen echad. Avol yesh acher shatoechol b'simen echad ve'eze zetome hanolah men ator v'ibure men ator. So Rashi interprets, Rashi already changed the Loshon HaGemara. It doesn't say, Rashi is learning, atome hanolah men ator v'ibure men ator. You have a pora and a shor have a vlad, that's a mutation, looks like a gomel. So he says, according to Rabbi Shua, it's mutter. Tosis is going to disprove Rashi. How does Rashi know that that's so? Because the Gemara says the Lashon HaGemara Mechoris, Tosis quotes the Lashon HaGemara. The Lashon HaGemara Mechoris is, let's go back again a little bit. The little Tosis Achi Yehu Shor Bchoroshor. There's a din of Nidme by all Korbanos. If a Korban is born, it's an animal is born, it has a mutation and it doesn't look the way it's supposed to look. So any mutation is already pasal lahakrav agav yamizbeh. The brisa before on Ein Zainim and Beis excluded two things. V'hatanya, four lines on the bottom. Shora kesa pratel klaim always pratel nidme. So whenever there's a mutation, it's pasal lahakrav agav yamizbeh. What if it's only a mutation on one side of the face? The calf that's born, or the egel is a calf, or the seh that's born, one side of it looks like a tiger, the other side looks like a calf. The other side looks like a sheep. Would that be korb agav yamizbeh? So Tosis points out, achiyehu shor. No, even if it's doimer le'imo b'kama simonim, it'll still be possible hakum agav yamizbeh. If part of the animal is a nidme, it's possible hakum. Now there's another din of nidme by bechor behema tohira. If a behema tohira gives birth to a vlad, and it's a nidme, it looks totally like a different animal. So then there's no din at all of b'chor behema Torah. Normally a b'chor behema Torah when it's born is korav agav yamizbeh, and it's nechel to the Kohanim. It's a matnas kuhuna, the Kohanim eat it, the makrav and eat the korav agav yamizbeh. So what happens if the animal is a balmum? B'chor is born, it's a balmum. So it can't be makrav agav yamizbeh, but it's still matnas kuhuna. So you have to give it to the Kohanim, and they shecht it chutz l'mikdash. And they eat it, it's their moment. They don't have to be poida. That's what we mentioned yesterday. Normally, karbanis that get a mum kavua, you have to be poida, with the two exceptions of pchor maisa. Psukim mechumish, it says lo yigoyel. It says by pchor maisa, lo yigoyel. So it means that there's no need for any pidyon. All other karbanis, when they get a mum kavua, you have to be poida, with the exception of pchor maisa, they don't need any pidyon. But it's still matnas kuna. So what happens if a pchor is born and it's a nidme? So the din is not only that it's not korb al gabi hamizbeh, it's not even a matnas kuhuna. It's not even considered a matnas kuhuna. So the Gemara says, Tosis, in the little Tosis that Yehu Shor Bchor Ashor, so Tosis says, but they're not exactly the same din. The din that nidme, if it's a mutation, it's possible hakor agabi hamizbeh, and the din that if it's a nidme, if it's a mutation, doesn't have any din of Bchor Behemet Torah at all, it's not even matnas kuhuna. They're not exactly the same. There's a difference. To be possible hakor agabi hamizbeh is any mutation. Even if it's daima le'imo, even if it half of the animal, let's say the eyes look like a seh, and the rest of the animal looks like a lion, it looks like a gomel or something. So even a part of it looks like the mother, it's still going to be pasal legabi hamizbech. But in order to say that it doesn't have din b'chor b'im Torah at all, so that the Gemara says it depends, because you have a ribuy and a miut. And that little Tosfos that Yehu Shor Bchor Ashor, the Tosfos quotes the Gemara, you have a ribuy and a miut. So the miut tells me if it's a totally nidme, if it doesn't look like the mother at all, then there's no din of Bchor Behemet Torah at all. Even the matnas kuhuna aspect is not there, nothing. But if it's daima b'miksa simanim to the mother, if it's daima b'miksa simanim to the mother, then it will have a din of Bchor Behemet Torah, the matnas kuhuna aspect. But it cannot be makrav et agabi hamizbeh. So that's what the Tosis points out. They're just quoting a Gemara, Bchor is afei, that the two dinim of nidma are not identical. The one din of nidma by korbanis, that's four lines from the bottom of Ein Zainam and Beis. Shorah kesaveis is pratlin nidma, even if it's deme b'harbe simanim to the mother. But if it's part of the animal's body on the outside is a mutation, so it's pasal lahakra gamayam is it's like a balmum. It's considered like a mum. But in order to declare that it doesn't have a din at all, a b'chor b'hema Torah, so that it has to be totally nidme. If it's daima b'miktsa simanim to the mother, so then it does have a din of kedushas b'chor b'hema Torah, but it's still a balmum, so you can't be makra of it. Agav b'hemisbech, so the Kohanim are entitled to it, and the shech the chutz l'mikdash and the lid, it's going to be kosher. So the lashon HaGemara is daima b'miktsa simanim to the mother. So what does it mean daima b'miktsa simanim? So Tosis says, what simanim? Malagir mafis parsa. What are you talking about? That's not what it means. Miksa simanim. Rashi takes the Gemara. Rashi on the top of Amud Beis, and Rashi and Chorvis writes the same. Rashi takes it the Mikta Simonim, there are only two Simonim that there is to talk about, Rashi says. Malager, Mafris Parsa, goes on the Simoni Kashrus of animals. So Rashi says, Deme, but Mikta Simonim, is it Malager, is it Mafris Parsa? So he says, what are you talking about? It goes on the shape of the eyes, the shape of the lips, the ears, the flaps of the lips, the shape of the head, the skin, the thickness of the skin, the hair, something. Mikta Simonim is, how much of a mutation is it? Is part of the Vlad Deme, but Mikta Simonim to the mother or not? Rashi has this funny pshat that Deme Mikta Simonim means the Kasha Simonim. So what do you mean Mikta Simonim? There are only two Simonim. There are only Malagir Mafis Parsa. The Loshon HaGemar is funny. Deme B'Simon Echad. So Rashi reworded it. Rashi on the top of Amun Beis reworded it. And Rashi is interpreting that whole Gemara, if it has Malagera, Mafis Parsa has one of the Simoni Tara. If it has one of the Simoni Tara, so that's called Deme B'Mikta Simonim to the mother. And Tosfos totally disagrees with Rashi. That's not what it means. That makes the money goes. Are the ears similar? Are the eyes similar? Is the nose similar? The mouth similar? The teeth similar? Goes on the mutation. Is it? Does it look like the mother at all? So the way Rashi interprets the Gemara, if you're going to have a gomel ben para, you have a shor and a para. Shor is a male and a para is a female, and they have a vlad that looks like a gomel. So according to Rashi, the gomel is always going to be mixed with simon. The Chumash says the gomel has one of the simoni tara. So according to Rashi, the Gemara makes a comparison between two different dinim here. That's the big thesis on the bottom of Amud Aleph. Ayin Ches Mez, according the next daf there. The first Gemara was Hey Amud Beis that Rashi quotes, and this is Vav Amud Beis. So Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara makes a comparison that this binyanav of Rava, that we're saying that sometimes a kilayim is an animal that's flying is also bachila, which is abnormal. Kilayim is only possible to gabi amizbeach. What case is it that kilayim is also bachila? So if it's a kilayim between a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal, and then they have a vlad, whenever that's physically possible, usually it's impossible, the Gemara works out how it's possible. So such a vlad is also bachila lehedyod. So the Gemara says, if it's Deme B'Mikta Simonim to the mother, then it may be kosher. The Gemara makes a comparison that Deme B'Mikta Simonim to the mother is enough to endow it with the din of Kedushas Bechor Behema Torah. Normally, if it's a nidme, total nidme, then it doesn't have a din of Bechor Behema Torah at all, even the Matnas Kuna. But if it's Deme B'Mikta Simonim to the mother, then it does have a din of Matnas Kuna. And that's a Machlokes HaTanoim. Tosfos quotes, that's a Machlokes HaTanoim. How much does it have to be Deme B'Mikta Simonim to the mother? Is it enough if it's Deme B'Mikta Simonim, or does it have to be Deme Rosha V'Ruba to the mother? Let's say Rosha V'Ruba of the Vlad, the Ruba of the Vlad looks like the mother, and there's one chvest leg, looks like a different animal. It's a mutation, looks like a different animal. So if you have any Nidmet, it's possible to Hak Rav Agav HaMizbeah. But it's Rosha V'Ruba, Deme to the mother, then it has a din of Bechor Behema Torah. So that's a machlekes hatanoim. Reb Shimon over there holds it has to be doime berosha veruba to the mother, that it should have the din of bchor behema Torah. And the Chachamim disagree. As long as it's doime b'miktsa simanim to the mother, that's enough. That it should be and should have the status of matnas kuna. So then the Gemara wants to know, how does this carry over b'negiah to the other din of doime b'miktsa simanim? That we have this binyan av from Rava's binyan av. So Rava's binyan av is that a certain type of kilayim is going to be also bachila, a rare case of kilayim. So the Gemara says, but if it's daima to the mother, then it'll be muta bachila. So the Gemara wants to know, how much daima does it have to be? Would you say that the same machlekes hatanoim, where they need rosh v'ruba daima to the mother, or mikta simanim is enough, just like the machlekes hatanoim in declaring whether it's a nidme, that it doesn't have the whole din of matnas kahuna at all? So that same machlekes hatanan, does it carry over here b'negiah to kashrus or not? So that's the topic that the Gemara there is discussing. B'choriz davav amibes. So the Gemara there talks about doime b'miktsa siman. So Rashi interprets doime b'miktsa siman. It means does it have malagera? Does it have mafris parsa? So the way Rashi learns, whenever the vlad is doime b'miktsa simanim to the mother has either one or the other, then it's going to be kosher. So Rashi is forced into assuming that if you have, that according to Rabbi Yeshua, that's how Rashi read the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yeshua, if you have a shor and a poro, give birth to a vlad, that's a gomel, absolutely on the outside looks totally like a gomel. Doesn't look at all like a shor. Looks totally like a gomel. But Rashi says, by definition, a gomel always has damim in the inside. And the malager mafis parsa, that's one thing. That. On the outside, it looks like a gomel. Huh?
That's on you can see inside. It. On the inside, the malager you can't see.
Yeah.
That's internal. That's not a mutual.
I don't know. So that's how Rashi interprets damim b'mikse siman. If it's either malager mafis parsa, then that's going to be kosher. So Rashi claims that according to this Tana Rabbi Yeshua, if you have a gomel ben shor v'paro, that gomel is going to be kosher. But that kosher gomel, if that's going to mate with another shor or a paro, and that's going to have a vlad, that vlad is going to be treif. So Tosfos says, why should that vlad be treif? If both parents were kosher, why should the vlad be treif? So the answer is, well, that's according to Rashi. That's the binyanav. That's what the Gezeiras HaKosher says. Yeah, but the problem is the Gemara says, tomei hanolad min ha-tohar vibura min ha-tomei. Tomei hanolad min ha-tohar vibura min ha-tomei. According to Rashi, it's not vibura min ha-tomei. You mated it with a gomel, which was a gomel ben shor upara. So, according to this Tana Rabbi Shua, that's mutter. So Rashi says kloimer. Rashi, when he says kloimer, means that pashup shat is not so. Kloimer, what it means is like this. Here, this is on the sixth line in the Rashi on the top of Ayin Ches on the base. He quotes the Gemara, Tomei anol ben atomei, burim ben atomei. What do you mean burim ben atomei? Kloimer doesn't mean ben atomei. It's Iburim in Agomol, which is not left from a shor and paro, that according to Rabbi Shimon is really kosher. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's tummy, it's a trefa animal. So Tai says, what is he talking about? No, Iburim in Atomi means not kosher. Kalayim Rashi says, Yog Shem Shani Machshebo, just like the Gomol is kosher. Kachani Machshebe B'no. So the answer is no, that it's also Bachila. So Tai says, what's he talking about? It can't be. And Tai says, Tainas, it can't be because they quote the Gemara there in Bchoris, see on Ayin Chesam and Aleph. And in the last eight lines in Tosfos, it says on the right hand margin, I'm Sefer Pnei Yeshua. Tosfos at the end refers to a Gemara that does exist. The Gemara exists in Chorus. But the problem is, the Marsha and the others point out, the Gemara backed out from that Pshat. So Pnei Yeshua answers the Pel on Tosfos. Tosfos quotes a Gemara. The Gemara says there, what do you need? Rabbi had to make a whole drosha from a Pasuk. Tomei hanolah min ha-tor v'yiburah min ha-tomei, that you're not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says there, Avani not allowed to eat it. What do you need? What do you have to work so hard to develop a whole binyan for? Isn't that the din of Zeb Zegorim that it's us? That should depend on the Machlekes HaTanoim. That's what we discussed yesterday, the day before. If you have a non-kosher animal, a camel gives off milk, or an ostrich or an eagle lays an egg. So the eagle is a non-kosher bird. So the Beitz Seif Tami is also Bachil. Or if you have an animal with a broken leg, an animal has a Sircha Nereya on the lung, in such a way that it's a trefa, so the milk that the animal gives out is a non-kosher milk. So what if you have non-kosher, you have two animals mate and they have a vlad, one of the animals is kosher, the other one is not kosher. For example, over here, so one parent is kosher, one parent is not kosher. So the vlad that comes is a yotze min hatomei min hator. Usually we know there's a din of yotze min hatomei. Yetzman Atami is the milk that comes from a behemoth tomato, or from a pig, or from a camel. Or let's say the Beitz HaSeif Tami. Non-kosher birds also lay eggs. You're not permitted to eat the eggs that come from a non-kosher bird. So that's Yetzman Atami, Yetzman HaOsa. What if something is Yetzman HaOsa, Umin HaMutter? Do you treat it like a Yetzman HaOsa? They say no. But with the Yisra alone, you wouldn't have had the Yetzah. You have to have two. You have to have a Zoch and a Kev in order to have a Vlad. So since one of them was kosher, one of them is not kosher, that's a machlekes satanayim. Do you treat this as yotzei min ha'aser? That's called zev zegorim. Is zev zegorim treated like yotzei min ha'aser or not? So that's a famous machlekes, Reb Eliezer and Reb Yeshua. Reb Eliezer is from the Beis Shammai. He's always machmer, usually machmer like the Beis Shammai, usually machmer. Reb Eliezer's opinion is that zev zegorim is awesome. We don't pass like that. We pass like Reb Yeshua, that zev zegorim is mutter. That's what motivated Tosfos on the last line in this Tosfos on Ayin Ches and Aleph to say, you can't say that the Reish Aleph, whose opinion is mentioned here from Bechoris Daf Yud Beis, And the Gemara says that what would he say about the Tomei Anelo Ben Atari, Bur Ben Atomei, and so on? He can't say that this is Reb Eliezer. If this is the Tana Reb Eliezer Ben Hurkinus, Reb Eliezer HaGadol, he would say that it's also because he holds in general. Zev is the Garmazasa. He doesn't need Rav's Binyanav to tell him this. What do you need a Binyanav? He says Mitzar Asvara. You have psukim that say Yotzim and Hasar is Asar. And there's what to declare, there's what to think about. What's the din if it's Yotzim and Hasar and Amutar? Reb Eliezer the Tana thinks, without psukim, he thinks mitzad asvar. Yotzim and asa mera mutter is included in the din of yotzim and asa. Without the asa, the mutter wouldn't have given birth to the vlad. You need both the zohar and the nekeva. So since one of the two is an isa, so Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana holds that that's yotzim and asa. So the fact that the Gemara is needing psukim to tell me whether the vlad is kosher or trei must be that we're not talking about the Tana Rabbi Eliezer. We're talking about some other Tana whose name is abbreviated Reish Aleph. So Tosfos says that's the other Tana, Reb Elozer, Reb Elozer ben Aruch, Reb Elozer ben Azariah. Yeah, they always write ben Azariah, Reb Elozer ben Aruch is Tam Reb Elozer, Reb Elozer ben Aruch. So that's what Tosfos says here. So the Gemara said at one point there in the Sugya Mchoris on Daf Vav that the topic that Tame Andela ben Atavi Burim ben Atame, if you have a kosher and a non-kosher animal made together, they give birth to a vlad. In this rare case where it's possible, usually it's physically impossible. In this rare case where it's possible. So the vlad should be also, the Gemara says, because it's Zev Zagarm. Then the Gemara says, yeah, Zev Zagarm, you don't need any psukim. This, everybody here holds Zev Zagarm is mutter. We're answering for a different reason, because of the binyan av Avrov. So Tosfos says, from the fact that this, so the Marsho and the Achronim ask on Tosfos, what did Tosfos quote from the Gemara, Zev Zagarm? That was a Havamin in the Gemara. Then the Gemara backs out. We're not talking about Zev Zagarm. We're working on the assumption Zev Zagarm is mutter. And this is still also because of a new binyanav, because of Rav's binyanav, that has to be lemute kilayim. So the Pnei Yeshua answers, no. The Gemara originally thought that Tomei and a Tohar give birth to a Vlad, the Vlad is Osir, is a topic of Zev Zagoreim. And that's why it's also. Then the Gemara said, but the only one who holds like that is Reb Eliezer, only other Tanoim dog. In Yoridei, we don't pass like that. So the Gemara says, oh, we're talking based on a new Yalfusa. Rav is Yalfusa of the binyanav. So Tosfos holds, you're not going to change what the case is. What was the case if you hold that the topic we're discussing is Zev Zagarm? So what was the case that it's a Zev Zagarm? You have a Zohar and a Keva give birth to a Vlad, and one of the two is non-kosher. Not the way Rashi says that both in Kloimer. Rashi says, Rashi v'enter of a Kloimer. Both the Zohar with the Keva that had the Vlad, they're both kosher. The Gomel, Shenorled, Minapar, Minaporo. They're both the gomel is kosher, and the two, the zohar and the keva, they're both kosher, and the vlad is also. That has nothing to do with Zev Zagar. Both the mother and the father are kosher. How can you say the vlad is also because of Zev Zagar? So you have to say it's a new din of a binyanav. So you're going to say in the Tchilos Hasugim Choris and Avavim and Beis that they said that the issue involved here in this brisa on Ayin Chesam and Aleph is a topic of Zev Zagarim. At that point they thought we're talking about mating a kosher with a non-kosher animal. Then when we come to the Maskana that no, it has not, everybody passed on Zev Zagarim is mutter, no one holds like that Tana Rav Eliezer ben Hurkinus, we rejected his opinion. So we're talking about a different case, that the Zohar and the Kevet are both kosher, but it's a kilayim case. And even though the both parents are kosher, the vlad is going to be awesome. No, so Tosfos, what is? You're switching pshat and what the case is in midstream. According to the Tchilos HaSugya, you're talking about a kosher and a non-kosher animal mating. And then the Tzof HaSugya, you're talking about two kosher animals mating. And the vlad is also b'achila only because it's a kilayim. The Tosfos says, no, you see from the beginning to the end, you're talking about mating a kosher with a non-kosher animal. So Tosfos doesn't agree with the Rashi, with the Kloimer. Because Tosfos translates the words in the Braisa, Doima b'miksa simanim has nothing to do with the simanim of Malager Mafis Parsa. Doima b'miksa simanim means, does the nose look like the mother? Does it look like an eagle or a seh? Is the whole thing totally a mutation? Totally a gomel? Not doima b'miksa simanim? Or is it doima b'miksa simanim to the mother? We're not talking about Malager Mafis Parsa. That's the Ikan Akuda, the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos here. The Tosfos gives the Pashup shot in the case. Yeah, this whole drasha of Rabbi Elozer is all on the assumption that he holds like Reb Shimon. We don't hold like Reb Shimon. We pass on halacha that a gomel, who's a total mutation, gomel shtei pamim, echad gomel anolim ben agmal, echad gomel anolim ben asher ben apora, but it looks like a gomel. We don't pass on like that, Reb Shimon. We pass on that it's mutabachila. You have a kolod ben parav. That's what is known as kolod. A gomel is parsos of klutos. It's not parsos of, it's not split. It's not parsos of dukas. Kolod is the opposite from mafris parsos. So the gomel is not malager, but the gomel is malager, but it's not mafris parsos. So Rashi learns that that's the simen echad, and Tosfos said that's not the simen echad. Okay, what does the Gemara have on the top line? Boy Rovo, what's the Shaila now? Yeah, we were discussing where does the issue of Zev Zagram come up? Halacha L'maaseh. We paskin Machlek Zev Lezen, Rabbi Yeshua, and the Gemara says over here, the Gemara says Mechoris, all these Tanoim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. Nobody holds like Rabbi Eliezer. I, Rabbi Eliezer, appear here, he says, no, it's Rabbi Elozer, it's a different Tan. It's not Rabbi Eliezer. Nobody holds Zev Zagarm as us. The Gemara had to have a minute to think, maybe Zev Zagarm is mutter and call it Torah Kula, but by Abu Zara also, Abu Zara is also Banu, Abu Zara also Zev Zagarm is mutter. The Gemara says yes, even by Abu Zara, that Abu Zara is Mochama than all the other Isurim, Machmar Alad, also Zev Zagarm is mutter. So the Ran in Masechus Abu Zara explains what the Havamina would have been. One might have thought that maybe Zev Zagarm is mutter, something like Bitter. But Abu Zara has a chumran that is b'mashu. Abu Zara is, that's how the Rambam learns the Gemara, like the Ran. Abu Zara is b'mashu. It's based on a pasuk chumash leidvak biyotchum u'uma min acherim. You're not allowed to take anything from an ira nidachas. So the Rambam learns mu'uma means even mashu. Even though it's batal b'shishim, it's still also because mu'uma, even mashu. So the Ran says, I would have thought maybe Zev Zagarm is mutam or kol atarukula, something like bitl. But by Abu Dizar, where Abu Dizar is b'mashu, there is no din of bitl. So maybe I would have thought Zev Zagarm is osir. I might have thought maybe the heta Zev Zagarm is somehow similar to bitl. So kamashmal and the Gemara, that is not so. That even in Abu Dizar, Zev Zagarm is still mutter. That's what we pass on the Yerideya. Second chelik Yerideya, we have Hilchas Abu Dizar. In by Abu Dizar, which is b'mashu, he still say that Zev Zagarm is mutter. So there's a funny taz in Hilchas Pesach. Tah says, yeah, but by Pesach, Chametz b'mashu, that's more chomer than Avodah Zarah b'mashu. Why should Chametz b'Pesach be more chomer than Avodah Zarah? Ne'echet Tesach. So the Tah says that Zev Zagarm on Pesach is also. So what would that mean, halacha l'maaseh? You have a kosher cow giving milk, but the cow is eating chomets. Years ago, they used to feed grain to the cows. So if the grain, if you have kernels of grain, you pour it in a trough, and you have water there, so if the grain sits there long enough, it's going to turn into chametz. So the cow is going to be eating chametz b'Pesach. If you don't give any food to the cow, it doesn't have koach to give off any milk. So you have to give food. So years ago, they didn't have brains. For so many centuries, they used to spend a fortune of money to feed the cows. Now they give the cows junk. They give the cows corn on the cob. They give them maize. Maize is kidney, so it never turns into chametz. So the shaila never comes up as manazeh. The whole topic never comes up as manazeh. But years ago, this was a classical topic in the days of the Taz, in the 1600s. This was a famous shaila. You have a kosher cow is giving off milk on Pesach, but the cow is eating chametz on Pesach. If you don't give the cow any food to eat, it's not going to manufacture. There's not kosher to manufacture any milk. So the Taz claims that's a zev zagorim on Pesach, and since chametz b'Pesach is b'mashu, is more chametz than avodah zarah, which is b'mashu. How does the Taz have the Ruach HaKodesh to know that? That's what everybody wonders. How does he know? The Gemara had a half a minute to think that by Avodah Zarah, Zev Zagarm should not be mutter because Avodah Zarah is b'mashu. And I would have thought that there's some connection. I'm not sure exactly what that connection is either. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that even by Avodah Zarah, which is b'mashu, we still say Zev Zagarm is mutter. So the Taz wants to come through with a chiddush that Zev Zagarm should be osur on Pesach because Chametz b'Pesach is b'mashu. So that's why years ago when Cholav Yisrael wasn't so available, now everything is available, but years ago Cholav Yisrael wasn't so available, so the Goyish farmers a lot of times would be feeding chametz to the cows in the middle of Pesach. So the milk that you bought before Pesach, even if chametz b'Pesach is b'mashu, but that's only if the taruvus happened on Pesach. If you have a mashu before Pesach, so it's already in this bottle kerem on Pesach, so you don't say chayz v'nir. So let's say if you would buy milk in the end of Chol HaMoed, the last day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, that milk could well be that the cows were milked on the first day Pesach after having eaten chametz. So according to the Taz's Chumra, that's chametz b'Pesach b'mashu. that you shouldn't say Zevah Zegor. So that's why a lot of people years ago used to buy all the milk before Pesach. So you know for sure that even if the cows were fed chametz, Kodem HaPesach is not b'mashu. It is bottled b'shishim. So even though it's a Zevah Zegor, it would be mutter. Yeah. You just have to try to analyze a little bit. Why is this as this is called the Zev Zegor? See, if you have a Vlad that's born, you need a father and a mother in order to have a Vlad. That's very clear. So that's called Zev Zegor. That we understand. A kosher animal and a non-kosher animal mate together, if that's physically possible, and they have a Vlad, Mar tells you how it's physically possible. So that's Zev Zegor, that we understand. A cow produces milk. The food that the cow eats isn't producing the milk. The food gives koach to the cow. So let's say you have a chazir is producing milk, or a camel is producing camel's milk. You're not allowed to drink it. What if the camel or the chazira, the gemala or the chazira, is eating kosher food? So you're going to say, well, that's a zev zagarim. That's a zev zagarim. So you can be matter all the camel's milk. Make sure you feed the camel and the chazir kosher food. So you'll declare it as, obviously that's not correct. So why is it if it's a kosher cow eating chametz b'Pesach, why do you call that a zev zagor? So obviously you have to say there's a major gorim and a minor gorim here. When you have a zocher and a keva, it takes two to tango. You can't have a vlad without a zocher and a keva. So they have to combine together. So l'chaver, they're equal gormim. But over here, the main gorim is the animal that's giving off the milk, the gemala, choleves, or the chazira choleves, that's the main gorim. If it doesn't eat any food, so it can't function. It won't be able to produce. Doesn't have koach to produce any milk. But that's the minor gorim. So you're only going to consider the minor gorim to declare it as a zev zegorim if the minor gorim is going to be lechumre. If it's going to be lekula, you ignore the minor gorim. The chazira is giving off milk, so that's yotzim and haaser aser. The only time we consider the minor gorim of the food that it eats is faket if it's lechumre. If it's a kosher animal giving off, it's a poroch or leves, kosher animal giving off milk. So from the perspective of the animal, yotzim in ator, but the kosher animal is eating chametz b'pesach. So I consider the minor gorem if it's lechumra. I treat it as if it's like a sofek. So if it's going to be lechumra, so then I consider it as evzagorem lahachma. But you don't consider the food that it eats. You don't consider that as evzagorem lahokel. To say that if you have a chazira or a gemala eating kosher food, eating grass, you don't consider that a zev zegor.
One is
a trefa.
So then, the vlad?
It's going to be an issue, yeah?
Okay,
so that's...
going
to be an issue of zev zegor. There's a question like this, what's the din? I have an animal that develops a trefus, so the animal declares, if I shecht it, that'll be a trefa. What if a doctor comes and he heals it? He does surgery, he heals the trefa, and all the doctors say, this animal is now healthy. They live at Me'av Yasim Shana, whatever the life expectancy of the animal is. What's the din? Is a trefa chazeres lehachshera or not? So that's a famous dispute between the Ramban and the Rosh in the fourth parak in Chulin, parak Be'em Amkasha. There's a Mishnah in Chulin. The Mishnah in Chulin says that if the leg of the animal is broken low down or high up, so it's not a treifa, unless it's broken very high up. And if the leg of the animal is broken by the tzumas hagidin, by a certain point where all of the, there's a convergence of all of the gidin on the outside, then the animal will be a treifa. So Ramban asked the kasha, if the animal has a broken leg by the point of the tzumas hagidin, why don't you just take a saw and cut off another 2 inches higher and it'll still be kshera? So why does the Mishnah say that it's a treifa? Cut off a little higher, it'll be kosher. So the Ramban says, enachanami. If the shechet has seichel, you should cut off, take a saw, and cut off another 2 inches on the leg, and the animal will be aksher. Acham askinon, the Mishnah is talking, he didn't cut off another 2 inches. He shechted the cow when it had the broken leg at the point of the tzumas hagid. That's what the Ramban says. Ramban says, treifa chazeres l'akshera. If you have an animal, that's a treifa. And you do something to restore its health, and now it's no longer a treifa, it'll become kosher. We don't pass like that Ramban. We pass like the Rosh. Based on the Gemara in the Chulin, the Gemara says, Treif Enoch Hazeres Lakshera. Ramban is a pella. It's against the Gemara. The Rosh quotes the Gemara. Treif Enoch Hazeres Lakshera. See, if the din would have been like the Ramban, let's say that both parents are treifas, a Shor and a Pora, and they're both treifas, and they have a Vlad. The Vlad is 100% perfect. The Shor and the Pora themselves, if you would have done surgery, it would have been Hazeres Lakshera. So there would be no problem by the vlad. But the problem is we don't pass like the Rambam. We pass in treifa enocha zeres lechshera. So you got a problem over here. So you have a problem. If one of them is going to be kosher, one is going to be a treifa, then it's going to be an issue of a zeres agar. So we pass in zeres agar is kosher. We pass in zeres agar is kosher. But if they both be treifas, the shor and the pora, they both be treifa, and they'll have a vlad, then the vlad will be awesome. That's our Yotzim and Atami Tami. The Gemara just says that the probability is a treifa any yoledes. A cow that's a treifa probably cannot give birth to a vlad. Okay? That's okay. So if the shore is a treifa and the parah is not, so then it's physically possible for the parah to give birth, but then it's going to be an issue of zevis agarm. So we pass from kosher. Zevis agarm is kosher. Yeah. Right. So Tosis points out there is a din that treifos psula lahakri b'agabi hamizbeach. The Gemara in Menachas Daf Hei asks, what do you need a pasuk? The Gemara learns that it's a pasuk in Bava Kama earlier, pratla treifa, that a treifa is not around Daf Mem or so, that a treifa may not be karv agabi in pesach. The Gemara says, what do you need a pasuk? It's a lakum in Mashki Yisrael. The Gemara says, no, Mashki Yisrael only applies in some cases if it was a treifa mileida, if it was a lo hoysa lo shasa kosha. But even if it became treifa later in life, and that's not possible because of the lack of the Mashki Yisrael, you have another pasuk, the treifa is no good. So treifa is a psula hakra agabi amizbeach. So the Gemara there has a machlekes hatanoim. Does that psul go over the Yerusha to the children? Just because the vlad treifa, the Mishnah is assuming that a treifa is yoledes. But just because the mother was a treifa and the mother had a psul hakra agabi amizbeach, there's a din of yotzim in ha'osir is osir. If you have a camel and it gives off milk, if you have an eagle and it lays an egg, the yetzim and atomi tomi, yetzim and also is also. Is there a din? Hayetzim and hapasul is posul? If I have an animal that's posul, lahakra lagabi hamizbech and gives birth to a vlad, and the vlad is kosher. If the vlad is not kosher, so you can't be makravit on the mizbech. It's not kosher. We mashke Yisrael. But let's say for some reason or another the vlad is kosher. So do you say hayetzim and hapasul is posul? That the psul hakrov on a parent goes over the Yerusha to the children as well. The Tosfos points out that's the machlekes hatanaim, then the end of Tmura. That machlekes of Blazer Rebbe Shor. Blazer says, lo yikarev. Even though we're not talking about the treifas, whether the vlad is also bachila. Even if the vlad is muta bachila, but it's posel lahakrov agabi hamizbeach. And Rebbe Shor says, no, there is no such thing. There is no halacha, hayotzim min haposel is posel. Hayotzim min haosar is also. Hayotzim min hatami is tami. If it's also bachila. The beitz asoif tami is also, and the chola beim atmei, a chola bava treifa is also. But there is no such din that hayetzim and hapasul is pasul lahakra agami amizbech. That's how we paskin there. The vlad treifa is yikarev, maybe makrovit on the mizbech. Yeah. Then we have the Gemara ayin chesam and aleph, ayin chesam and based on the top line. Boi rove. Boi rove is referring. This is a topic which is not halacha lemaisa. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Ayin dalad amid beis. Reb Shimon Shita is quoted the Mishnah. We don't pass like Reb Shimon over here. We often don't pass like Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon ayin mekotchim, the last two lines in that Mishnah, ayin dalad amid beis. Kotchim shachai b'achrius m'shalom dal v'hei. Sheinachai b'achrius am potter. Where does it go? A ganav stole an animal and he shechts it. So if it's a shor v'sei, he pays dal v'hei. What if the ganav stole the animal and they were magdashit? Who was magdashit? The ganav was magdashit or the niknav was magdashit? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the niknav cannot be magdash because it's ain't a bishusai. The ganav can be magdash if it's lach ayush, so it'll be yush v'shinu v'shus, yush v'shinu Hashem, so the hegdash will be chal. According to Reish Lakish, who doesn't hold bechlaf and the whole problem of ain't a bishusai. Reish Lakish holds like the tznuim. There's a machlekes hatanaim and a machlekes hamaraim, which tana to follow. So we had, that was the beginning of the parak. So Reish Lakish says, Gana v'higdush, Gana v'hagana v'higdush anignav. Rabbi Yochanan says, what kind of a way to read the Mishnah? Gana v'higdush, the same person that did the Gana, did the higdush. The Gana was the higdush. How can it be magdush dov v'shein ha'sholot? It's lach ha'yush, and it's yush v'shin ha'shus, yush v'shin ha'shem. So the higdush is chal. So the hagdosh alone is not considered like mochar. Why don't you say that Mali Mechor Lahedrin, Mali Mechor Lashamayim? So you don't say that the Hakdash itself is Mechayim. So the Gemara said, why? Because Mekor Tur Deruvin, Vahash the Tur Deruvin. Fine. So Gana Behigdish, the Ganaf was Magdashid, he's not yet Chayv Dalavay. Vahakach Tovach, and then the Ganaf goes and he shechts it. So will the Ganaf be Chayv Dalavay or not? So the din is we don't have in the Pasuk that Hegdish, since it's ready Hegdish, so it's Mama Gavoya, Kotshima Mama Gavoya, it's not, no longer considered Mama Bailam. So the Ganav will not be Chayv Dalvei. Comes Reb Shimon and he comes up with an Ein Father. We don't accept Lalach, we don't pass like him. He says, Dabar Gam la Maman, ke Maman Dami. Since the Ganav is stealing this Korban from the Bala Korban, see if the Bala Korban is going to have to bring a different Korban instead. So that's Dova Hagorim Lamamin. So if it's Kachem Shechai Bachri Yusam, Dova Hagorim Lamamin is Kim Mamin Dami. So it is Mamin Bailam. We pass from Korbanis and never Mamin Bailam, period. It doesn't matter whether it's Chai Bachri Yusam, not Chai Bachri Yusam, whether you said Hari Alai, whether you said Hari Zu, it doesn't make a difference. Rab Shimon holds like this. That Dova Hagorim Lamamin Kim Mamin Dami. So he says, if the Ganef stole a Korban, and the Bala Korban is Chai Bachri Yusam, so then it's considered, the Bala Korban is considered a Bailam, and the Ganav has to pay. So that's what, we don't pass like that. So this boy Rova, the Gemara has a suffix within the Tana Reb Shimon. This is irrelevant. The whole topic is irrelevant. Allah says, we don't pass like Reb Shimon. So Rova has a suffix within Reb Shimon. What would be the din in the following case? The man said, Hari Alai, Oilo, Vehifri, Shor. So let's say the Shor drops dead. So since he said Hari Alai, he has to bring another one. Chai Bach Yusam. Does he have to bring Dafke another shore, or can he get shore? Is a Behem Agasa, it's very expensive. He said, Hare Alai Oila, can he get away with a Keves? Can he get away with an Oila Sa'if? So there's a Machloikis Satanaim. So a Keves for sure he can get away with. The Choladeus, the one who took the Neder, for sure can get it. That's the little Tysus. Hanoi the Ratzma Pshita the Mati Pata Navshi. Just because he said Hari Alai Oila, then his mafish is shor. Shor is the most expensive oila you can bring. What if later on the shor drops dead and he's chay b'achri yuson? So that's l'chol ha'deis. If he wants, he can bring a kevis. Do you say if he wants, he can bring an oila soif? So that's a machlekes of blazim and azayin ha'chachamim in the Mishnah in the very end of Menachos, towards the very, very end of Menachos, one of the last dafim there. So that we're not debating over here, whether the noida can get away with a kevis, that l'chol ha'deis he can, according to Ablazim Zayin, he can even get away with an oil soif. We're discussing over here, how much does the ganav have to pay? The only reason why the ganav pays anything over here, l'oilam the karbonis ha'mamon gavoyah. So the ganav should not have to pay anything. You don't pay to the hegdish, gudim beis eishlam beis hegdish, you don't pay hegdish, and you don't pay the bailam either, because the bailam, it's not mamon bailam. But Reb Shimon came up with this chiddush that agdav agam l'mamon is kimamon dami, is called the bailam. So the shayla is, to what extent is he called the bailam? He's only a bailam to the extent that it's garam lamamim. It's only garam lamamim to the extent of an oila sa'if, according to Rablazim and Azariah, or a kevis. It's not garam lamamim to the extent of a shor. So the only reason why it's mamim bailam is because it's garam lamamim. But it's not garam lamamim so much mamim. It's garam lamamim less mamim. So the ganav should only have to pay that amount. So the Gemara said, that's correct. Basa de bayah the pash, the first boy, Ravi, wasn't sure. Then it comes to the conclusion, yes. Initially, Rava entertained a Havamina. Rava was pursuing a Havamina that since he was Mafish ashore, and this shore is a Dabar HaGram Lamam, and if this shore will disappear, I'll be Mukhif to pay. So that's called Kimam and Dami. The whole shore is I'm a Balam on the whole shore. Not only to the extent that it's Gram Lamam, it's only Gram Lamam to the extent of a Kevis. According to Rablaz and Mazar, it's only Gram Lamam to the extent of an oil, a Torah Ben Yoina. You don't have to bring two Torahim or two Bnei Yoina. You can bring one Torah, one Ben Yoina. So that was Rava's original svar. Boy Rava, he wasn't sure. Maybe I should say, since a Dabar HaGorim L'mamim K'mamim Dami, he's considered a Balam on the whole thing, on the whole shore, not just to the extent that it's Gorim L'mamim. The Maskana was, no, Basa Dabayah the Pashto, and then they call it a Braisa like that. It's only Gorim L'mamim K'mamim Dami, only to the extent that it's Gorim L'mamim.
Bar Gorim means
shore. I mean, no, the shore is gone. He stole the shore. He shechted it. He ate it. Aganav. But it's only Gorim Lamamim to the extent of a kevis.
Well,
or to the extent of a Torah ben Yonah.
No, we said
the noder, yeah. Kavar, the ganav stole it, and he shechted it, and he was machzed it, and now the noder has to bring another korban, but it's only gorim to momentim, it's only kvar gorim, to a lesser extent. He's not going to bring again another shor. That's what Tosfos says for sure, the noder for sure. Pshita, the matzi potah and apshe bekevis.
What about the kolentim leiv olos? If you're saying the tim leiv, so here, he
so already since he set aside,
he set aside a shor.
So that's what Tosfos says, not so. Even though he already set aside a shor. So it shows that that's what he wanted to bring. So that's what Tosfos says. He don't say like that. The Noider himself for sure can get away with giving less. I don't know. That's a good kasha. Why don't you say Kol Nidin? The Peh, he only said Hari Alai Oilo. But the Machshove, he set aside Ashur.
He actually did it.
He did it already. So why don't you say Kol Nidin Vlei Vargas? I don't know. That's a good kasha. Why don't you say that? That's like a second Neder. The original Neder was the Peh. He's got Hari Alai Oilo. But then he makes a second Neder when he's Mafresh Ashur. Why isn't that considered like a second neder belev, called nedir belev oilos, that I want to fulfill my first neder of bringing an oila by bringing an oilos shor as opposed to an oilos keres? I don't know. That's a good kash, but that's what Tosfos points out. That's given in the Gemara that he can the neder for sure can get away even after being mafresh shor, he can still get away with giving a keres. I don't know why. It's a good kash. I don't know. We mentioned the Mishlam Melech raises a possibility that if somebody has an esrog that he spent $150 for, he could have bought a kosher esrog for $50. He wanted a mehuradik esrog. So he raises the possibility that a person who steals his esrog and cuts it up into little pieces will only have to pay him back $50. He won't have to pay back $150. Why? He only needs the esrog for the mitzvah. So since he can fulfill the mitzvah, shelo bishlei musa. By having a $50 esrog, you didn't really need a $150 esrog. So maybe based on this gemara, maybe it's enough to give only $50. So everybody, the latest form say that it absolutely doesn't make any sense. Here the gemara is talking. The thing is hegdish. It's mamon gavur. It doesn't belong to the bala hegdish. The only reason why we treat it like his davar gam lamam kamam dami Rav Shimon's opinion. We don't pass like Rav Shimon. So davar gam lamam kamam dami is only to the extent that it's gam lamam. But if the thing is mamish mine. It's my esrog. What do you mean? And the esrog sells for $150. It's shali. It's bam and bailim. So of course he has to pay $150. It was a peladik svara that the Mishlam Melech raised.
Isn't it a problem of chotim iskar in the Gemara? I mean, he's stealing a more expensive animal.
Yeah, he gets away with much less. He's not chotim. What do you mean chotim iskar? It means he shechted it and he ate it. No, he wasn't allowed to eat it. He got himself an avera. He's eating kachim achutz probably. What he shechted, he eats it. He's eating kachim achutz. I mean, he's full. His belly is full. He ate these lamb chops and these steaks. He's been eating all these steaks for the last couple of days. And if he would have gone to buy it, it would have cost him a fortune. He's getting away with paying less. But he's going to go to Gehenna for doing all the averas. It has nothing to do. He's going to go to Gehenna for eating kachim achutz or whatever. But he doesn't have to pay me for that. He only has to pay the nignav to the extent that it's davar gam l'mamikim amadav.
The Gemara, I mean, the Gemara anonymous says, doesn't like him.
He's walking away with
money. It doesn't say, he'll get punished, he'll go to
get
him, so that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's even. You know, that doesn't make the
nignav
feel any better. Right.
But the nignav is not entitled to extra money because of the fact that he did this terrible aver. His aver is an aver ben olam hamakom. The nignav is only entitled to get anything because we pass and gets nothing. Reb Shimon says he gets because davar garm l'mamet k'mamet dav. So that's what the Rava says. It's only garm l'mamet to that extent that it was garm l'mamet. Just that, it's not. Because it starts off that it's really mamet gavaya. You're declaring that it's his because davar garm l'mamet k'mamet dav. Reb Shimon shita. So that's only to the extent that it was garm l'mamet. But on the esrog is mamishes. The esrog is not mamet gavaya. The esrog is mamishes. Of course you have to pay the $150. Value is determined by kamahu shovel in kabashuk. Bosa makam abosa zman. An Arab sukkah is a week before sukkah. This esrog sells for $150. So that's how much it's worth. Here, talking about karbonis. He can't sell karbonis. Mama gavaya. So Shimi came up with a new einfalt, which we don't accept la locha. The rogam lamam and kemamidam. So that new einfalt is only to the extent that it's garm lamam. Past that extent is not his. Okay, then we have the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah has that if the hekish between Tovah Machar. This was the hekish that Tanoim made. Not the Rish Lakish was the one who originated that hekish. That's the hekish. That's how Rish Lakish took the hekish. But Rabbi Yochanan also agrees that there's a hekish. What a Tovah Machar, ma tvicha kuloi, af mechira kuloi. Tvicha when you shecht an animal, shechit is chal on the whole animal. It's not shecht to do shechit on half the animal. The mechira has to be on the whole animal. So what if mechoroi, chutz me'echot, me'me'er shabo, let's say the ganav sells the behemoth to a lokeach, and he retains 1%, 1 out of 100, 1% for himself. He's only selling 99% of the animal to the lokeach, and he retains ownership on just a kazayis of flesh. So that's not mechora kula, so he's not chayv. So then the Gemara has a four or five way machlekes hatanoim. How much of a shear does it have to be that it should pater the ganav from paying the alavim? So one opinion is that the shear is only in the flesh. If you leave out gizus, or if you leave out karnayim, that's not basar. Only davar nita b'shchita. Rashi says davar nita b'shchita. Rashi diramascha hanita rima. Rashi writes basar is nita rima. But if you mishar or karnayim in gizus, lo havishir. The Rashi says that shchita is not chal on these three, or karnayim and gizus. There's a Mishnah in the end of Chulin, the last paragraph of Chulin. Sometimes orisim kibsoran, and sometimes ain orisim kibsoran. Let's say, and chicken. The skin of the chicken is edible. They say it's not healthy now, so everybody's removing all the skin from the chicken. But years ago, everybody ate the skin from the chicken. It is edible. It's just that people are more concerned about their health. The skin of an animal, the skin of a cow, the hide of a cow, most of it is not edible. There's certain parts of the ore that are edible. The stomach, if you take this table and if you cook it long enough, it'll become soft and it'll become edible. We're not talking like that. Take a branch from a tree, if you cook it long enough, it'll become delicious, become edible, mix in flavor. We're not talking like that, we're talking normally. So the Mishnah has that certain parts of the animal, certain parts of the skin, are the same kibsar, it's edible, but ruba de ruba, most of the skin is not. And there are certain animals where the hide is so soft that it's edible. Elush are the same kibsar, Mishnah in the last pair, in Perak, towards the end of Chul, it's not the last pair, towards the end of Chul. So here we're talking about or, Rashi is talking about or, which is or olav kibsar, the or is not bechal basim. The Rashi says, it's not nitarima b'shchita. Shchita is not chal on the or, it's not chal on kanaim, it's not chal on on the gizas. So that's one tana. One tana is of the opinion that it's only considered a shear to be part of Dalav Hay if you leave out part of the flesh. Yeah. That's how we pass. Then another tana says no. Anything that's attached to the animal, if you mishire it, just like a mechoro, just like a tvachoi, so mechoroi, the whole animal. It has to be the whole animal. So if you leave out the kanaim or the gizos, then you don't pay dalav hay. We don't paskin like that. Then one tana splits. He distinguishes between kanaim and gizos. The giza is made to be removed. It's something that he gozes every year. The wool develops on the sheep, and then you shear off the wool. Then you wait till next year and you shear off the wool again. So wool is not considered kiguf hapema, but the kanaim are not made to be cut off. So the kanaim are considered an intrinsic part of the animal. So if you leave out, if the ganav sells the whole animal chutz min hakanayim, that would be a shear. But if he sells chutz min hagizos, they would not be considered a shear. Okay, compromise sheet.
The or
is also the same as kanayim. It's not oimid, right? It's not oimid to be removed. Yeah, even though it's not. Yeah, we paskin davar anita rima b'shchita, only flesh. If you leave out part of the flesh, that's a shear. You see the little tzion in the Rambam, the letter hey.
You can't take the order without
shechting.
It'll be
tzavah lechayim. Okay. Yeah. But the shechita is not chal on the or. That's how Rashi learns in the Gemara. Shechita is not chal on the or. Shechita is only chal on the basar. And then there's another Tana who's of the opinion Dova hamake b'shechita. If you leave out Dova hamake b'shechita, that's called the shir. If you leave out a little piece of flesh, it's ain't a makke b'shchita, so that's not called a shear. What's the definition of dova makke b'shchita? So Rashi seems to have two contradictory pshatim, as he puts it together. Dovah shows us a treifa or dovah shows us a nevela. Because the beginning of the Rashi says Dovashim nitam mena nasaban nevela mechaim. Then he goes at the end of the Rashi, Yodav raglam menakuvah lamata loy menakuvah lamayla would be a shiur. Menakuvah lamayla is also a treifa. That's not a nevela mechaim, that's a treifa mechaim. So the Rashash points out that Rashi has two variations over here. So they're really, what are they? The six shitas over here? The one shita, the shita that we pass on like is, it's only called the shir if you leave out flesh. Anita b'shchita. To the exclusion of three things, Rashi says, the or, the kanayim, and the gizos. They're more also. Tlofim, other things also. But only the basar would be considered a shir. And then the other extreme shita was, even the gizos, and even the kanayim, anything is called the shir. Then there was a compromise that distinguished between or and kanayim on the one hand, and the gizos on the other hand, because the gizos, it's natural, it's normal to remove it, so that's not called the shir. But the or and the kanayim, if you leave that out, it is called the shir, despite the fact the shchita is not chal on it. And then there were the other two shitas over here, either davashosos a trefa, davashosos a nevela. And these two shitas, davashosos a trefa, davashosos a nevela, appear in Pchoiris, in the first parak, back to Shut Vesakum. When you have a behemah hamavakeris, it's giving birth for the first time, and it's going to be a zachar, so it's going to be Kaddish B'Kedushas Pchoira. So the Gemara says, if you make a Shut Vesakum, so there's no din of a Pchor behemah Torah. How much of a shutfas does Yaakov have to have? Let's say the Nachri only bought a horn. The Nachri bought the wool on the mother. It's a sheep and it's about to give birth, and the Nachri is a shutf, he owns the wool, he owns the horn. So that's not enough. The Gemara says the Nachri has to be a shutf in the flesh of either the mother or the uber over here, that it should be considered shutfasakum, that it should be exempt from the whole din of Bechor Be'imitar. Even the Matan Skuna doesn't apply. So the Gemara there has a machlekes amarai. Do you need davish osasa nevela, or it's enough if it's davish osasa trefa? The two different shades of opinions. So the Rashi over here blends them both in together. Davah hamakeh b'shchita blends them together. Davish osasa trefa with davish osasa nevela. Yeah. Then the Gemara points out this halacha that if you didn't sell a whole animal, you're not chayv dalei. That's only if I stole an animal that was had all of its organs. Had all the ramach ivarim, however many organs there are in an animal, I don't know. So if I stole an animal that had all these organs, and then I sell it, leaving out one of the organs, so then you're not chayv. What if I stole an animal that's missing a leg? I stole kitas. What does the Gemara call it? Hagoyin of hakitas v'sachigeres v'sasuma. He stole an animal that's missing a limb, and then he sold whatever he stole. So the Baraita says, of course, it'll be chayv to pay a dollar the hay. It's not called a shear. The Gemara has a suffix. What would the din be? Three lines from the bottom of the Amud. Boy rapapa, what if Genova, he stole an animal that has all the ramachi vorm, kito, and he breaks off a leg, and then he sells the whole animal that's left. He doesn't have a shear of what's left. How do you determine what is it called a shear? The shear depends on the moment of Geneva. At the time of Geneva, how many organs were there in this animal? Or does the shear depend on the moment of Mechira? At the time of Mechira, was Amishai something? What if Genova or Kito? Then Mechora Mao. So that thing Gemara says, take or they're not sure. Yeah, this shot never comes up by us. We can't make anybody pay Dal Vehe because Ein Don Dinichnas is Bebobo. Nobody has any smuchim. You don't have any smicha Bizman is there. But we have a similar shaila, but not at all related. Similar but absolutely unrelated is there's a din that a kohen is. Dr. Lamb spoke about it. Kohen is only metamit to the Zion Krovim. He's not allowed to metamit to anybody else, less than Meis Mitzvah. So the Zion Krovim, the Gemara says, only metamit bisman shehu shalim velo bisman shehu chasid. Let's say a person was shot to death, and then some ganav came and they stole his heart after he's dead. They started pulling out organs. He signed one of the cards. HOD. One of the tzaddikim assigned the cards for the HOD and they start ripping everything out. Are the relatives allowed to attend the funeral? The Gemara says no. Is manshu shalom lo is manshu chaser. If the body is chaser, if it was neschaser after the death, before the kvura, so the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that the kohen is not allowed to be mitami. So the Achrayim have a machlekes. The Radvaz has a Lepischa Tshuva quotes in the end of Yerideya. What if the father, while he was alive, gave an organ to his wife, whatever. The rabbi here in the neighborhood, he donated a kidney to his wife. So let's say the rabbi should live on Mary Yes Mashana. So after he dies, I don't know if he's a kohen. So let's say after he dies, would his son be metameh to his body? Is that called chaser? He doesn't have all the limbs that he had at the time that he was born, but he has all the limbs that he had at the time that he died. The mitzvah to be metameh to the mace sets in when the person dies, not when he's born. So from the time that he died to lekvura, he's not chaser anything. They didn't make any autopsy. But his chaser mechaim, his chisar mechaim, does it count or not? So that's a diun in poskim. So that's a little bit along the lines of our papa sofik. How do you determine when is it called chaser over here? Does it depend on the shasa gneva, the moment of gneva? So gnova ktov umechora, he won't be chai, but he say no. Chiser, if he leaves that part, depends on the moment of mechira. If he stole an animal, he chops off a leg and then he sells it, but he's selling the whole animal that he's selling. He didn't leave any shear in the animal. I chopped off a leg before. Zelachut. So Rapop is mesupik at that. Then we have the Gemara quotes at Tosefta. Good morning. The last line on Ayin Ches and Gemara quotes at Tosefta. What does a Tosefta say? The first line in the Tosefta, we know already in our sleep that usually there's a rule, Ein Shalich L'Dvar Aver. And there are three exceptions to the rule. The one is all the Mishnayis and Maseches Me'ila, that by Me'ila there's a Shlich L'Dvar Avera. Then the other one is Mishnayis and Bava Metzia, that by Shlich Asyad, Yeh Shlich L'Dvar Avera. And the third one is over here from the Reuben, that by Dalet V'Hei is Yeh Shlich L'Dvar Avera. So that's the first line of the Sefer. The Ganav Menas Lacha V'Tovach, Ganav Menas Lacha Amachar. The Ganav gave it over to a Shlich that he should do the Tovach Amachar for him. So the Sefer says, Yeh Shlich L'Dvar Avera, by Tovach Umacha. Fine, that we know already. We recovered that. It's a chiddush that the Tosefta says. We didn't know till now. We didn't know it's a Tosefta. The Amaraim said it. Tanaim said it is a Tosefta. The next line is the chiddush. Gona behigdish is chayv. Gona behigdish is chayv. The top line on Ayin Tesamen Aleph is a quotation from a Tosefta. You look it up, it really exists. The Tosefta is really there. Gona behigdish is chayv dala behed, because the Gemara says, Mali mechor lehedyot. Mali mechora la shamayim, right before the Mishnah. So this is in total contradiction to what it says earlier. Taisa quotes the Gemara, dafayim vavim and aleph. The Gemara says, why don't you say gona behigdish? The Mishnah says gona behigdish is not chayev. Daladeh, Mishnah ayin dalad on the day. So the Gemara says, why not? When he's magdish, that itself should be like gona venasim ematana. If here the next line in the Tosef, the gona venasim ematana is chayev. So they mentioned that the Rashba raises the issue. Why is it so pashut that Gana Vinasim and Matan is Chayv? In the Mishnah Pcheris and Daf Nun Aleph, there's a Machloikis Satanai, whether Matan Kemecher, Matan Alav Kemecher. Where's the Machloikis with respect to which din? So the original Mishnah has a Machloikis with respect to the din that Sodas Chazas Lebalei and Beyoivel. When it comes to Yom Kippur Shal Yoivel, whoever had a stay Achuza and he sold it to someone else, when it comes, Yom Kippur Shal Yoivel, it goes back to the original owner. So this chazis lebalei miyavel. So the Chumash only says if he sold the field to someone else. What if he gave it b'maton? He never sold it. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. When it says the din of Chumash, it depends on mochar. Should I say maton kemecher or should I say maton alav kemecher? If you would have asked me, I would have said that it's only a machlokes b'negiyah to so this chazis lebalei miyavel. You have no right to extend it to any other case, but I'm wrong. The Yerushalmi on the beginning of Maseches Ma'aser Sheni says not so. Yerushalmi says there is a machlokes satanoim is the farmer. Farmer, there's a 7-year cycle of Shemitah. So the year one, year two, you mafish Truma Gedola Ma'aser Rishi Ma'aser Sheni. Then year three, you mafish instead of Ma'aser Sheni, you mafish Ma'aser Roni. Then the fourth and the fifth and the sixth years are a repeat of the first and the second and the third years. So 4 out of the 6 years, the 7th year, everything is hefki, you don't mafish anything. Since it's Hefka, it's Potter from Trumas and Mises. So the first 2 years, and year number 4 and 5, you mafish Maisa Sheni. What do you do with the Maisa Sheni? You bring it to Rishalayim and you eat it. What if, who has time to go bring to Rishalayim? Can I sell it to someone else and make money on it? So that's a machlokes Reb Meir Reb Yudit, where the Maisa Sheni moment buy him, and you can sell the Maisa Sheni moment Gavaya. So the Gemara says in the end of the second parak in Kedushin, that despite the fact that Ruba, the Ruba of the time, Reb Meir Reb Yudit, Alachik Reb Yudit, We usually paskan against Rav Meir. Here it happens that we paskan like Rav Meir. Maisa sheni mama gavoya. He cannot sell the maisa sheni. So you cannot sell maisa sheni. Can I give it away to maton? Of course I can. I mean, I can invite other people to eat. That's not a problem. No, the shah is like this. If I gave the maisa sheni to matona, and I say, and then tomorrow I say I want it back. I'm an Indian giver. I give it, then I say I want it back. Is the matona chal or not? Of course I can give it to other people. They take it to Yerushalayim and eat it. Gives them to hate. That's it. But I'm gonna get sick if I eat 5 million oranges. I can't eat so much. So of course I can give them a matana. But is the matana chal? I can invite other people to eat with me. It's no suffix. Is the matana chal? So I would have said that it depends on the machlekes whether ma'aseh sheni mamon bayil ma'aseh sheni mamon gavoya. Yerushalmi says no. Yerushalmi says on the assumption that ma'aseh sheni mamon gavoya and he can't sell it. It's still not so pashut that you can't give it b'matana. Can you give it b'matana or not? Depends whether matana kemecher or not. So the Yerushalmi in the beginning of Ma'aseh Sheni, Rashi and Mishnah quotes as Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi in the beginning of Ma'aseh Sheni assumes that the machlokes whether matana kemecher or not is not only a local machlokes when it gets to sodas chosus lebalei and b'yoivo. It's not only machlokes there. Machlokes whenever there's a din in the chumash of mecher. Is matana kemecher, matana lav kemecher. So if so, it's a machlekes and kol atarkula, so it should be relevant here. Why is it so pashut gana benasim matana that yichayv dalvei? Should depend on the machlekes and the Mishnah Mchoras Dafnan Aleph between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, whether matana kemecher or not. So it's strange, the Rashba raises the issue. The Gemara should have raised the issue. The Rashba raises the issue and he says something for some reason or another, why everybody agrees over here that matana kemecher, that there's no machlekes. So that's what the Gemara explains. The top line on Ayin Tesem and Aleph, Gona Behigdish, Chayiv, Dalet Vehei, because it's the same as Matana, Mali Nisana Lehedyed, Mali Nisana Lagavoya. If you're Gona Behigdish, if the Ganav is Magdishit, being Magdish is the equivalent of being Noisem in Matana. So this is in total contradiction to the Gemara before Ayin Vavim and Aleph. The Gemara says, based on a Mishnah, Gona Behigdish is not Chayiv, Dalet Vehei. The Gemara said, why not? Why don't you say Mali Mechorla Lehedyat, Mali Mechorla Shamayim, Mali Mechorla Gavoya? So the Gemara says, no, Mikor Tura Deruvin, Mahashta Tura Deruvin. So isn't this a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Tosefta? You see from the Mishnah earlier, the Gemara Ayin Vav Amar Aleph made a deal from the Mishnah that Gona Vehikdish is not Chayev, because Mikor Tura Deruvin, Mahashta Tura Deruvin. And here the Gemara says that Gona Behigdish, the Gemara has a Tosefta, Gona Behigdish is Chayiv Dalet Vehei, because Mali Mechor Lehedi and Mali Mechor Lashamayim. So Tosis in the Balamor and many, many Rishonim came up with this Einfal, that it's the difference between whether you Magdish it LeBerek HaBayis or LeMizbeach. Basically, Berek HaBayis is Mom and Hegdish B'Kinyon, absolutely belongs to Hegdish. So Gona Behigdish is the same as Mochor LaChavero, as opposed to Hegdish Mizbeach, Kotche Mizbeach. That's basically mine. That's mom and bailim, except that the halacha declares that it's mom and gavoya. We have to treat it because of the delicacy of the kedusha is so delicate, so it's a bizayin to the kedusha if you're going to sell it. But basically, all the karbanos are mom and bailim. So that's our thesis in Rov HaRishonim on the Yashiv Destira. Our Gemara Ayin Tesem and Aleph then interprets in its Tosefta. They're going to be Higdish Ischai. We're talking over here about Kotche Berek HaBayis. He's Magdish of the Berek HaBayis. So that's Malish Mechira. That's Mali Mechor LeHedyot, Mali Mechor LeHashamayim. And the Gemara in earlier, the Afayin Vav, where the Gemara is Medayik from the Mishnah, they're going to be Higdish is not Chayiv Dalvei. That's talking about Kotche Mizbeach. Kotche Mizbeach are basically mine. That's the Teretz. The Ramban is not happy with this Teretz. The Ramban does not appear here. The Balamon, the Ramban are and Perek HaGoizon. When the Gemara is talking over there with the Rif, they're both talking on the Rif. When the Rif there is talking about with the Yish Kedi Koni, the Yish Kedi Loi Koni, so that's where the Balamon and the Ramban have their comments. So the Ramban does not agree with the Tosfos. That the one Gemara is talking about Kotche Mizbeach and the other Gemara is talking about Kotche Berek HaBayis. He says you're forcing something into the Gemara. And he quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi an explanation as to why, even if you're Magdish LeBerek HaBayis, you're still not Chayiv Dalet Vehei. Why shouldn't you say, like Tosfos says, when you're Magdish LeBerek HaBayis, it's Mamish Mamon Hegdish B'Kinyonoi. It belongs to Hegdish. Why isn't that the same as Gonav HaMochar? So the Ramban quotes the Yerushalmi, says not like this. The Beferish not like this. The Yerushalmi says you're only chayv dalet vehei if you did an act of hakno'o, either nosan b'matana, ganav nosan b'matana, a ganav umochar, you did an act of hakno'o. But if you're magdish, hakdosh is hatfasas kedusha. True, if you magdish it leberek habayis, it'll become amen hegdish b'kinyone. But your act of hakdosh was not an act of hakno'o. Act of hakdosh is hakdosh. I mentioned the Hechoche to support, Yerushalmi doesn't need my support, but I mentioned the Hechoche from a Tosefta Nida, that the Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky in his commentary in Chazon Yecheskel on the Tosefta points out that the Tosefta has a, the Mishnais have a din in Nida that a Mufla Samach Liyish, a child, a boy, either a boy or a girl, within the year before Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah, have the ability to take a neder and the door of Nivdokim. You have to check to see if he knows what he's talking about. If he's before the year before Bar Mitzvah, his aim is Dvar of Klum. So the neder is not valid. If he's after Bar Mitzvah, the neder is valid. What if he takes a neder within the year before Bar Mitzvah and the door of Nivdokim? So that's a discussion in the Gemara. Is that a din there, right? So that's called Mufla HaSamach Liyish. And that's a machlekes in the Gemara Nida, whether that's the Raisa, the Rabbana. Machlekes la locha, the Ramam, the Raib. Ram holds that it's a din, the Raisa, and the Raib, it is masik, it's only a din, the Rabbana. Shine. So the, but the Akalpanim, everybody agrees, there is an institution of Mufla Samalish. How far does it go? The Mufla Samalish, within a year before man mitzvah, Nidorav Nivdokim, he can take Nidorav. What about could he be Magdish Karbanis? Also, if it's his, if the animals are his, he got to be Rusha, let's say. He can be Magdish Karbanis. If there's a machlokes satanaim and a mishnah and truma, can it be mafresh truma? Can it be poyed the maaser sheni? You treat pidyon maaser sheni also like in yoni haflo. So Taisa says also the same thing. In Yerideya, they paskin that the mufla samach liyish can be mafresh trumas and maasers like that tana. The Vilna Gaon is masik. He thinks we should pask like the other tana. That mufla samach liyish is only good for the darim and the zirus and shvus, and hegdesh is no good for hafrashes trumas and maasers. But in the Shulchan Aruch, the mechaber paskins like the tana. That the mufla samach liyish within the year before bar mitzvah, that the child can be mafresh tumas and maisus, and Tosis adds on and gittin, they could even be poyed and maisus sheni as well. So the Tosefta says, not only can the mufla samach liyish be magdish lekotchem mizbech, he can even be magdish leberek habayis. Why is that a bigger chiddush? So the Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky explains why, because kotchem berek habayis amom and hegdish, it belongs to hegdish. So one might have thought, how can the Mufla Samach Liyish do an act of hakno? You can only do an act of hatfosis kedusha. Hatfosis kedusha is similar to the area of haflo, of taking a neder naziris or a shvua or a neder, a magdish a carbon. But to be magdish something like berek habayis, that's like hakno. So the Tosefta says beferish it's still chal. Why? So the Ramban's Yerushalmi. The Ramban quotes Yerushalmi. The Ramban, the end of all the Kama quotes. Because the act of hakno, the act of hakdosha, is an act of hafloa. After you magdish it, leberagabayis, it'll become amen hegdish. But the act of hakdosha is not an act of hakno, it's an act of hakdosha. So that's what the Ramban understands here, that this is a machlokes hatanoim. It's a machlokes the Mishnah and the Tosefta. The Tosefta, gonav hegdish chayev, is in disagreement with the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Tosis kasha. Here the Gemara says Mali Mechor Lahed, Mali Mechor Lashemayim, and there the Gemara earlier said on Dafayin Vav Amar Alef, I would have said like that. Kamash Mulan, that you don't say like that. So it's a Tosis Yes Astira. So Ramban says you don't do it. It's a stira. So Machlek is the Tan and the Mishnah and the Tan and the Tosefta, and Ramban says we pass like the Tan and the Mishnah. The Yerushalmi says we pass like the Tan and the Mishnah. The Yerushalmi raised the question when you get to a din der Rabbanan. There is a din. One is not permitted to eat tevil. One eats tevil is misa b'dei shemayim, a pasuk. But the issa d'oraisa of eating tevil only applies if you had miruach plus rias p'nei habayis. Miruach means you removed all the psolas and then you put it in a neat pile. And rias p'nei habayis means you brought it inside the house. You didn't leave it outside on the farm. You brought it inside the barn, inside the cellar. So the Gemara says, what happens if you didn't yet have Ries Bnei Abai, so you didn't even do Meiruach, but you eat it in a fashion of Achilas Keva, so the Mishnah is saying, Trumas, then also, you're not permitted to eat Tevel, even before Miruach and Rias can have bias, v'yidin and achilas keva. When is it considered achilas keva? So one form of achilas keva, not stamanash, the guy sits and he eats a whole bowlful. That's a kipshuta, that's called achilas keva. What else constitutes achilas keva? So the Rambam quotes a collection of sources from Mishnais and Brises. What's called keva? So one keva is melach, if you salt it before. One keva is if you bought it from someone else. One keva is if you cooked it. One keva is if you eat it on Shabbos. Shabbos kevas lamaisa. Whatever you eat on Shabbos called achilas keva. And a couple of other things also. I forgot all the others. So there are various things that constitute achilas keva. So the Yerushalmi had a suffix. What if somebody is paid there? Hegdish has some food that no one was mafresh trumas and maisis from, and someone is poided from Hegdish. When you poided the act of pidyon, does that constitute an act of mekach? You bought it, so since you bought it from Hegdish, so whatever you, however you eat it, will be an achilas keva. So you'll have the issa de rabbon, and you're not allowed to eat achilas keva, even though it's before rias ben abayis and issa de rabbon. Or should I say no? When you poided from Hegdish, that's not called a mekach. So the Yishalmi, this is Shailan at the level of the Rabbanon. So the Yishalmi assumes called the Tikkun Rabbanon came the Raisa Tikkun. The Yishalmi is poshut this suffix that Pidyon is not Mekach from this Mishnah, that Hakdosha is not Haknor. If Hakdosha would be Haknor, then Pidyon would be Mekach. If Hakdosha is Hafloe, it's an act of Hakdosha, Tfasis Kedusha, the Pidyon is an act of Pidyon. I just removed the Kedusha. It's not that I bought it. It's not that I transfer ownership. True, if I'm Magdish something like Berak HaBayis, it will become Mamon Hegdish. But the act of Hakdosha to the Berak HaBayis is not an act of Haknoah. I would have said not so. I would have said, Amirosa lo gavakim sirosa lo hedyatomi. I would have said, when I declare Hareza Hegdish, I would have said it is an act of Haknoah. So the Yishalmi proves that it's not so. Shalmi says, the Mishnah says in Baba Kama Gana Vehigdush, it's not Chayv Daladei. Why not? I bet it's going to become Amen Hegdush if these Magdush are the better Kabayis. Shalmi says, because the act of Hakdush is an act of Hafloa. Doesn't matter what is going to become later on. What he did was not an act of Haknoa. And Huadinami, Memela, when you pay the Hegdush, that's not an act of Mekach either. So I would not apply the rule that Mekach is Koveya, Lemaisris, if you pay the something from the Gizma. That was a fantastic Yerushalmi that the Ramban quoted, making an awful lot of assumptions. But Tosis does not. Tosis and many Rishonim do not hold like that. Ramban says they made it up from thin air. This whole shtickel Torah, Chelik Din Kol Shemizbech, Kol Shebeirut Kabayis, says it doesn't say over here in the Gemara. They made it up from thin air. That's the piece. This part, Moshe Soloveitchik had a whole printed, a whole biur on a Rambam. There's a Rambam that's against the Gemara. And all Achronim is the Rambam is against the Gemara. So Moshe Soloveitchik published the whole Dvar Torah. No, the Rambam makes good sense. The Rambam distinguishes between Kodesh Mizbeach and Kodesh Beirut HaBayis. It's all based on Rab Chaim, all based on this top thesis on Ayin Tesef and Aleph. That Kodesh Beirut HaBayis is Mamon Hegdish B'Kinyona. And Korban is Kodesh Mizbeach, HaMamon Bailim, basically. And it's a Gzeres HaKosev, that you have to treat it like Mamon Gavar. He had this whole yeshiva on the Rambam. Rambam worked that well, and the Gemara was problematic. So that's why the Dvar Avram sends him a letter. He leaves out the name. Dvar Avram usually has names to whom he sent the letters. So this letter, he leaves out the name, but he writes Sher Bisori. Apparently it's someone in his family. Moshe Soloveitchik was, they were all cousins. So he has a letter to a young man. Moshe Soloveitchik was younger than he was. So he has Sher Bisori, and he writes, my dear friend, my dear young Talmud Chacham, he says, we are trained in learning that you have Yisoidis, and we make Yisoidis from Gemaras, and every so often you have a Shver Rambam. You don't make a Yisoid on a Rambam and then look back and say it's a Shver Gemara. That's what he did in the Shtikl HaSoid. He makes a Yisoid from the Rambam, a basic distinction between the Kodesh Mizbech and Kodesh Beirut HaBayis. And then he says, hey, the Gemara Me'ila is Fakir, so it's a Shver Gemara. He doesn't know what to do with the Gemara. So this is that Dvar Torah. So that whole Dvar Torah is based on this top thesis. The famous word from Rab Chaim, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik expanded upon it. This is, this Dvar Torah was reprinted. There's a blue book that was printed by Machon Yerushalayim 20 years ago, 25 years ago. That's called Kovetz Chidushi Torah. So it has a collection of all of the Dvar Torah that were printed by Rav Moshe Soloveitchik and by Rav Soloveitchik the Rav. All those that were printed by that, they themselves wrote and printed. So this is one of them. That Mi'ilu B'Parah Aduma. So the whole Dvar Torah is all based on this Tosfos. So the Ramban makes fun of the whole thing. Ramban says against the Yerushalmi.
We put it from Hegdish to less money than it's worth.
With the Yevid, if you cheated Hegdish, one says Hegdish shaveh mona. Hegdish is worth $100,000. Shechil, the shaveh kuta, I give a penny. So with the Yevid mechul, you're not allowed to do it.
That's
the
same thing
buying
from the Gizrael.
Is that
the same thing? Yeah,
yeah.
So they see it's different than
Mecca. Gemara understands that the reason why Heg the Shavim Manashachil or Shavim put them Chul is because Ein Anor la Hegdeshus. It's identical with the Din, there's no Einor. If it would have been Chulda in the Hedyos,
yeah,
it would have been not valid sale because of the Din of Einor. It's Batul Mecca. It's way yes and Mishtu, it's Batul Mecca. But because we learn from the Pasuk, Lo San Rishis Amisai, so when we made Hegdish, that by Hegdish is not din of Einor, that's why if you put the Hegdish, Shalom b'shavyo, that it's good for the
Yevid. It's not like Mecca, it doesn't have a little bit.
Not necessarily. Harchacha. That's what the Yerushalmi says that the Ramban quoted. But it's not necessarily Harchacha. One could have argued the point and said otherwise. You can say basically it's a Mechira. But the only thing is that it's a mechira that's not subject to the laws of Einor. That's why even though it's a shavah mana, shechil al shavah puta, mechul al b'dievet, l'chatchili, not allowed to cheat hegdish, but b'dievet if you cheat it, so it's chal, so the pidyon is chal. Okay. Then we have the next Mishnah. The Mishnah, famous Mishnah, in order for the ganav to be chayv kefil, he has to have made a kinyan gneva. So what about in order to be chayv keren, in order to be chayv be'onsen? Does he also need a kinyan gneiva? He has to either make a hakbor b'shus ha-nignav or a meshicha b'shus ha-nignav. He can't do a meshicha b'shus ha-nignav. Meshicha is not. He's not chayiv. That's the shot. Is not chayiv what? Is not chayiv kefal? Or is not even chayiv b'yonsen? So the Rambam, the Tosfos Yontif, HaMishnah is on this Mishnah, point 30. He says, look in the Rambam. The Rambam learns pshat. He's not chayiv kefal. Sounds from the Rambam, Keren he is chayiv. As long as he does a Maisa Geneva, even though he didn't do a Kinyan Geneva, he's chayiv b'yonsen. Pashup Shat, one could argue with the Rambam. It's questionable whether the Rambam's, whether that's really what the Rambam is driving at. It's the Tosfos Yontif's diuk and the Rambam's, a very strong diuk. But it's questionable whether the din is correct. The Pashta says that you need a Kinyan Geneva in order to be chayiv b'yonsen also, not just in order to be chayiv in Kev. So the Mishnah says you have to make a Kinyan Geneva. Either you do hakboa, Agbor b'shus ha-nignav is kind of higbio, or tzir mirshus ha-baylim, if he did a meshicha michutz l'shus ha-baylim, yeah. What if he do, let's say, meshicha, I want to buy an animal, and you want to sell it to me, I want to buy whatever, an automobile, and I do meshicha, I'm kind of, meshicha is kind of b'metaltalim. Is meshicha kind of in the reshus ha-rabim, or is meshicha only kind of b'simta b'tzidi b'shus ha-rabim? So there's a Gemorin Hamoiches Hasfino, where it says Meshicha is only kind of besimta, but not b'shus harab. Tosfos quotes, "But Basa daf pei dalet, Meshicha b'shus harab is not kind." Here in Ksubas daf lamed aleph on the base, they quote our Mishnah. In Ksubas they quote this Mishnah. That's why I say here, our Mishnah is quoted in Ksubas daf lamed aleph, and the Amoraim there have a machlokes how to read the Mishnah. Hoyemoshcha v'yoytzei, if he succeeded in doing the Meshicha chutz l'mishus anignav. Chutz Meshusam is Meshalem Daladei. Then he does pay. So that's the Shaila. Chutz, when he does the Meshicha, Mechutz L'Meshusam. What do you mean? Meshicha Chutz L'Meshusam is in the Meshus HaRabim? Or it's in the Simta, the Tzid of Meshus HaRab? So that's a Machleke Samarayim. Pligi Rav Acha Ravina. Charam Shehotzil L'Simta. Habal Meshus HaRab Loikani. The Charam, the other one disagrees. So Tosfos here, our Tosfos here, Oshu Hotzio, Tosfos understands that the Machlokes Amoraim is a Machlokes regarding the basic din in Bava Basra, that they quote two lines later from Bava Basra, Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis. Is Meshicha Kaina B'Shus HaRabim or not? If Meshicha is Kaina, if I want to buy a behemoth, if Meshicha is Kaina B'Shus HaRabim, then Meshicha will be good for the Kaina B'Shus HaRabim. If Meshicha is no good B'Shus HaRabim to be Kaina, so Meshicha wouldn't be Kaina here either for the Kaina. This is the here, it doesn't see any reason to distinguish. This is Derek Silbis quotes the other Balei HaTosfos, the other Rishonim would distinguish. They say, no, the Machlokes Amoraim, Rav Acha, and Ksubas Daf Lamed Aleph is only by a Ganav. Does the ganav become chayiv beyond sin and chayiv to pay kefil even if he does the mishicha b'shusarab manai? But when it gets to actually selling a behemoth, everybody agrees that mishicha b'shusarab is not good. They all agree you have to have mishicha dafke b'simto b'tzidim b'shusarab. Yeah, what's the whole idea over here? Because we explained very easily the din. The whole kinyan of Mashiach is basically, the Gemara says Mashiach and Hagboah is basically the same kinyan. You're machnas it into your rishus. When you do Hagboah, the guy's selling me the perglis, I pick it up. So Hagboah is kinyan because I was machnas it into what's considered my rishus. Where's my rishus? There is no rishus. Where are you really machnas something into your rishus? Kinyan chotzer. Where's the mocha for kinyan chotzer? We had the Gemara at the beginning of the parak had two makaris. It says, "Himimotzi simotzi biyado hagneiva." The original kinyan is kinyan yad, and kinyan yad appears twice in the chumash. Himotzi simotzi biyado hagneiva by a ganev, and menasam biyado by getisha. So the two psukim that are explicit talk about kinyan yad. If something is in my hand, I'm kind of a kinyan yad. The part that's in my hand, the part that's sticking out on the side is hagbor. That's not yad. The part that's in the hand is yad. The part that's above my hand, like this, that's Avir Yad. So Avir Chotzer is also good. Avir Yad is good. So the original marker in Chumash is the two psukim. And Mark explained, why do you need two psukim? Would have had get, I wouldn't know Gneva. If would have had Gneva, I wouldn't know get. Once you have both, then this covers Kala Tarakula. We establish Kinyan Yad based on the combination of the two psukim. Then each one of the two psukim had a Yitor, had a Drosha. Then not only is Yad Kaina, but also the other Ein Levi Yad Chatzer, Menantam Lam, and also Mikomakom. The Chotzer is also good by get. And then it says, "Imotzi simotzi biyado hagneiva, eni ala biyado chatzer menan tamla imotzi simotzi mikomakom." So, from this combination of the two psukim, we establish that there exists a kinyan chotzer in kol haterakula. So, yad and chotzer, I'll be pashtus. Yad and chotzer are the basic kinyan of literally hachnasa l'rishus amitaltalim. Not on karka, amitaltalim. You can't amitalt mehachnasa l'rishus. A kinyan hagbo, it's considered as if you were machnas it into your rishus. You don't have any rishus. Yad nechatzu is literally achnasa l'rishusa. And hagbo is also considered as if you did achnasa l'rishusa. That's a shayla. Rabbi Kivega claims that a get is only good if it's yad or chatzer. If it's hagbo, he says that it's no good. So he says if the husband put the get into his wife's hand like a diploma, and half of the get is sticking out over here, so Rabbi Kivega says it's no good. If the get is, he puts it in a hand and it's protruding above a hand, that's aver yad. So Aviyad is good, we have that Avichotzer is also good. Aviyad is good, Avichotzer is good. But if it's sticking out sideways, that's what the Nesivus points out, that's Hagbah. But the Gregor claims Hagbah is not good by get. The Pischei Tshuva quotes this, and he says, the minhag olam all over the world is that we, Rabbi Kivega insists you have to fold up the get so tiny that the whole get should be in the woman's hand. And the minhag olam is that they don't do it like that. They fold up, they take a big piece of paper, they fold it up in nine parts. They fold it over three times, and they fold it over three times. Not okay. That's the minig. Then they put it in a hand. Part of it is sticking out, and part of it is in. So the minig is not like Rabbi Kivega. It's a din deraisa. Rabbi Kivega holds that the woman is still an eishes ish, and the children are going to be mamzer when she remarries. But the minig by most people is that they're not choshish for Rabbi Kivega. My father told me he remembers once seeing by Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, you had a get, so he insisted. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik insisted on folding up the get like Rabbi Kivega. But no one else does like that. No one else does like that.
Rabbi, if the woman accepts the get, Kalach Riyad, and walks outside on Shabbos, and it's Kalach Riyad, would it be Kalach
Riyad
or
Yadav? Yadav. For Hoytzov, the Shabbos Kalach Riyad is not Chayiv. But for the get, Lochayr Kalach Riyad would also be good. Yad and Chotzer, how can you have a Yad Kalach a Yad? I don't know.
However, she carries it out.
I mean, that's Hagbah. Oh, there is a discussion in the Gemara whether Hagbah Shaloi Kedarka is kind of. If you do a Hagbah in a strange fashion, is that kind of by Hagbah? Right? There is such a machlok as Hatanoim in Kiddushin, in the second pair. Am I safer? I have a whole lesson about that. This new sefer, I have an essay about Hagbah Kalach Hayad. But it's good enough. You read the sefer, eh? Okay. So by a normal person who's buying something, or you're giving me a matana, so the whole kinyan consists of hachnasa l'rishus. By the ganef, what do you mean? The ganef makes a kinyan ganef. He's doing hachnasa l'rishus. Who gave him permission? So by the ganef, the whole kinyan consists of hoitzoa mishus marakama. He can't say haknasa lishus marabasru. He's not kind of anything. The Torah imposes upon him a kinyan ganeva. Torah says that he's kind of, but he doesn't do. How can he do haknasa lishus? So all he does is he does a mishicha. That's one opinion there in Ksilas Daf Lamed Aleph. The ganef can do, only the ganef can do a mishicha b'shus harabim. Someone else who wants to really be koineb, the matana or the mecha, has to do a mishicha either b'simto or b'tzidu b'shus harabim. He can consider a mishicha into the b'shus harabim, hachnosa l'b'shuso. He has no right to block the traffic. He has no right to stand there. So that's not called the hachnosa l'b'shuso. Hakboa is, make hakboa doesn't affect anybody else, doesn't give anybody a hard time. But to do a mishicha into the b'shus harabim, that's what Tosis quotes one sheet in Ksubas Da, but only the Machlekes Ravina Ravashi, Ravina Ravache, is only by a ganef. By other cases, so there's no steer between the Gemara in Ksubas and the Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra says, Mashiach is only besimta v'lo b'shus harabim v'chala days. There never was a Machlekes on that. The whole Machlekes only is when it gets to the ganef. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. I think tomorrow we should continue. We have to finish the Chazara. Then we got to go back this. And maybe we'll, no Parshas Kisisa this year. We'll postpone Kisisa to next year and we'll try to do some more Chazara. Okay.